This is Christian Teig welcoming you to the first quarter 2014 conference call. For those of you who have been to our website, you can download a presentation. If you're onto the Webex conference call, I will step through it with you. The presentation will take about 15 to 20 minutes, and thereafter we will go into a Q&A session. We then turn to the first slide number two, key figures first quarter. 8% growth is predominantly driven by acquisitions. In terms of numbers, it's been a mixed start to the year. There is good organic growth in the European doctor and pharmacy business, but our hospital business came out weak in the beginning of the year, and there is also a significant year-on-year currency exchange effect here in the first quarter 2014. Moving on to the next slide number three. Here is the revenue and profitability per quarter since 2010. Revenue shows a persistent growth pattern, whereas the profitability for the quarter is clearly down. The reasons behind this are described in more detail on the following slide number four. The operating margin in Q1. The special initiatives in 2014 have been planned, and they were announced in February, and therefore hopefully are well known. All of these initiatives are inherently aimed at growth and structural cost reductions, which obviously are needed in our business at its current state. What came in addition was the lower than expected revenue in the hospital business, which has a direct impact on margins due to the high element of fixed cost in this business. If we move to slide five, costs of goods and the gross margin. Not much to add to this picture. We have been in the 81%-82% gross margin range for a long time, and this is also true for this quarter. If we move on to slide six, personnel expenses. We have two new sizable organizations in the group following the Vision for Health and Imagine Group acquisitions in January. In the year-on-year picture, we also have the organization of the new Italian pharmacy software business, which came in August last year. Stripping these acquisitions out, the personnel expenses are up 3% year-on-year. We step through these housekeeping slides now one by one. We're on to slide seven, other expenses. Again, not much to add to this picture, except for the seasonally busiest fourth quarter. Other expenses remain at somewhere around 32% relative to personnel expenses. That is a pretty stable, normal level in our current structure. Moving on to slide eight, operating cash flow. The gross cash flow from operations before any change in working capital is virtually unchanged compared to Q1 last year at around 14 million euros. Prepayments gave an increase in operating cash flow, 26 million this year compared to 33 million last year in the first quarter. This shift is mostly due to a slightly later invoicing of maintenance contracts this year related to the migration process of customer contracts into the new ERP CRM system. This effect is expected to even out during the second quarter 2014, so that we should have a pretty even operating cash flow relative to last year. Moving to slide nine, capital expenditure. Our investments in the quarter are dominated by the Vision for Health transaction and the fact that we are making some fundamental investments in the group structure in areas such as the new group-wide ERP CRM system. To slide 10, balance sheet. Changes over the last quarter are mostly the intangible assets from the new acquisitions, a bit more cash and more receivables. and this is all balanced by the increase in prepayments posted as other liabilities. All other positions are mostly unchanged. Slide 11, we now turn to a review of each business segment, and we begin with the largest area, both in terms of revenue and profits, namely the software for doctors. This business currently represents about 60% of group revenue and is also where most of the action and positive dynamics are taking place right now. Moving to slide 12, the software for doctors, or IES as we also refer to its development. All in all, it has been a decent start to the year in the doctor software business. 6% organic growth in Europe at constant exchange is okay, considering that Q1 is probably the hardest comp this year in this area, and that we are still building up revenue from the telematic infrastructure project in Germany. And the temporary decline in the US is as planned. There we are more focused on how sales and bookings develop. That brings us to slide 13, the US development in Q1. May seem like a small thing, but the sales development in the US is actually one of the highlights in the quarter, with over 30% year-on-year growth. We're by no means in safe territory, but the signs are encouraging, and there is a very systematic approach behind these numbers. April bookings were also good, and should this trend continue, the US business will return to growth quite rapidly in the coming quarters. And of course, management at all levels, we're eager to prove that moving into the US market was the smartest thing we ever did. Then we step on to slide 14, the telematic infrastructure. This is also another highlight of current developments. We are excited about the prominent role we play in transforming German healthcare through this project. And the progress to date shows that we are on track to meet the project objectives, both for us and for the customer. The fact that the interest in the project from the provider side has been stronger than expected, we see as a strong positive, also for the long-term prospects of this transformational initiative. Slide 15, this is really just to remind us that the telematic infrastructure is a long-term growth opportunity for CGM, and that the pilot project is only the first stage in a transformation to a significantly higher revenue opportunity for CGM. With a potential rollout, something that could begin in 2016, CGM has the opportunity to sell online access products compliant with the electronic health card to all existing customers in Germany. Summing that all up, what you see on this slide, that's about 75,000 installations out of a total market potential of about 250,000 installations in all of Germany. And certainly we are eager to compete for business both with our existing customers and also in the overall market in Germany, should this be the new model for how healthcare providers get connected in our home markets. Yeah, slide 16. This is the final reminder on this topic. The telematic infrastructure fits perfectly with our strategy to provide more products and services to the customers. These are everything from our e-services, that means the online internet portal for patients, electronic prescription, electronic lab orders, physician networks, online clinical pathways, hosting services, you name it. Everything that goes online in a closed, secure medical cloud fits perfectly with CGM's strategy. And we couldn't ask for a more significant initiative than the telematic infrastructure in this respect. Then we move to slide 17, the January acquisition of Imagine Group. We announced this acquisition in January. I would refer to this as a sweet spot CGM transaction, buying a market-leading through software business with a large install base. Doesn't get much better than that. Altogether, we now serve about 40% of office-based doctors in France with software and related services. And in 2014 will be spent to implement the CGM business model there and also the operating structures in this group, new group company. Moving on to slide 18, the January acquisition of Vision for Health Group. This was the second transaction announced in January. This is a perfect complement to our existing lab business in Scandinavia. And together we now cover the main European markets with highly modern and competitive laboratory information systems. Same as with Imagine, 2014 will be spent to implement the CGM operating structures in this new group company. Slide 19, the placeholder for software for pharmacies. We now turn to our second office-based segment, namely software for pharmacies. And this business currently represents about 15% of group revenue. We're now on to slide 20, pharmacy software development. In this business, we had a good quarter with 4% organic growth. The new Italian business also performs as expected. And in both markets, we see robust demand for system upgrades from the expiry of support for Windows XP. And it should be a good year for the pharmacy software business all in all in 2014. Yeah, slide 21, placeholder for the software for doctors, for hospitals, sorry. Quickly going on to slide 22. The software for hospital business is approximately the same size as the pharmacy software business. That means approximately 15% of group revenue. This was clearly the problem area in this quarter, and we clearly see the lack in license and professional service revenue from the unusually high proportion of recurring revenue in the pie chart. In all fairness, half of the business runs well, meaning in Austria and Switzerland. I would also say Poland is in essence also okay, as it is performing according to the plan this year, which has a somewhat different seasonal profile compared to last year. For the full year, we expect Poland to grow year on year. The challenge we have is Germany, in the social care and rehab institution markets. Basically stumbling out of the blocks with relatively poor sales and order execution in the first 3 months. Obviously, this is an area of special attention for management, as this needs a turnaround in a timely fashion. This is clear. Moving on to slide 23, communication and data development. The legacy business in communication and data develops as expected. One new thing is that we now have an additional marketing platform outside the traditional doctor software products with our e-health business media, which is cooperating with the largest online physician network in Germany called Hippocranet, that enables us to offer some of the same services that we have traditionally done inside our doctor software applications, also on the, say, more open internet. We've also brought some new people into this business to see if we can bring it back to growth. But I think for this year, and as we have announced, we see this on a plus minus 10% declining curve relative to last year. Moving on to slide 24, workflow and decision support. If we strip out some transitory effects in outgoing legacy products and currency exchange, then the underlying trend is quite positive. We continue to sell IPC3, the drug database and prescribing tool, through third-party software vendors, and our health management services for the payer side continue to expand, albeit at a relatively slow pace. That brings us to slide 25, expected developments. That's the forward-looking part of the presentation. Most things are unchanged. Directionally, the IS business is on the right track and could even exceed the high end of the revenue range. The opposite can be said for the hospital business, where we will have to fight quite hard the rest of the year to recover the lost revenue in Germany, which was experienced in the first 3 months. Lands us at slide 26, the guidance, which is reaffirmed. Yeah, if we put everything together, we do reaffirm our guidance for 2014. We know that these numbers in an isolated sense are not satisfactory, especially the profitability side of it. But to restore growth and profitability in the business, we have to go through our set of planned initiatives this year and just come back stronger on that note in 2015. We're on to the final slide now, slide 27, the financial calendar. One notable change here is that CGM is absent from the Medica this year. One of the alternative marketing initiatives in Germany that we do will be a e-health summit to be held in October in Koblenz. That's for customers and partners in Germany. It could potentially be fairly large and interesting, and we are planning the analyst conference in connection with this, and the date should then be October 9th, which is a Thursday. So that concludes the prepared part of the presentation. We are now on to the Q&A session, and if you would like to raise questions, please press star one on your telephone. We will queue you up and take your questions in order. First question.
Yes. Good morning, Florian, speaking from Commerzbank. I have two questions, if I may. The first is based on your rather weak EBITDA margin Q1, and from my point of view, probably the main disappointment. I would like to find some reasons for this. You have mentioned these known and mentioned one-offs before, so when it comes to integration, but also your high investment going into the year. The obvious question here is it fair to assume that a big part of it was kind of upfront investment or cost, so that when we can go or look into Q2, Q3, we can expect some lower impact on it? And if it is the case, can you quantify it? And the second question is, your profitability in the HCS business was quite strong. It is in line with last year's Q1, so it's maybe only a seasonal effect, or can we expect this to be a quite nice level going forward, probably reflected by some cost cuts in the operations?
First question, I mean, we stand by our 20%-21% EBITDA margin for the full year, and obviously with 18% in Q1, it needs to go higher. And again, some of this was planned, and the points that were mentioned on the slide in the presentation. I mean, if you want to quantify it, I would say if you add something like 2 million of revenue to the hospital business, which for all practical purposes in such a quarter would be pure margin, then we would be close to what was planned. And also, as was stated in the report, keep in mind that we currently, in our project calculations, have recognized no profits on the telematic infrastructure project whatsoever. Some of that which may come in the coming quarters. But even in the coming quarters, there will be significant elements of, say, investments taken over the P&L related to the initiatives mentioned. But you also see it on the revenue. If you take 122, times 4, you're not going to get to 510 to 520. So obviously, even if we are working hard to shave off the cost base, and there will be some impacts this year, the main part is basically the revenue profile, which will come through in the coming quarters. If you look into our segment report, yes, this actually gives a pretty good picture onto the nuances behind the headline figures. You see, we have a slightly slower cost base also on personnel expenses in HCS, which is natural as it's an area where we've had declining revenue. The biggest change year on year is in the HIS business, which in Q1 was close to a 0% EBITDA margin from the missing revenue. In HPS 1, the absolute EBITDA is mostly stable, and I guess it's normal in the first phase of integrating new acquisitions that, you know, the costs of integrating them basically eat up whatever profits they produce, and in the first 12 months we cannot expect too much profit coming out of newly acquired businesses. So that is more of a normal part. So summing that up, it is the hospital business which is the disappointing part on profitability in Q1.
Okay, thank you.
Next question.
Hi, Christian. It's Gunnar here from Bloomberg. Just a follow-up here on, so you said obviously you kind of integrate the recent acquisitions and they're not going to add much to profits in the first year. But also, are there any particular one-off kind of restructuring expenses in a kind of a Q1, and could you quantify these?
So in Q1, the pure, say, one-offs would be transaction expenses, legal and other transactions fees. They are €300,000-€400,000, so not huge. We are currently working on, say, the structural changes, or at least in the first 3 months, on these businesses in a gradual, incremental way. We haven't taken any one-off restructuring charges to it. Having said that, of course, we are duplicating some positions and costs as we are transitioning, for example, some central services, bookkeeping, in both the new acquisitions. And right now we carry, say, a double cost base on these areas. How much is that? In a quarter, maybe €500,000. But the important part is, of course, that over this period of, say, 2014, we are working to bring these new businesses in line, say, with HPS1 margin levels.
Right, thank you. And also then, your European doctors business grew nicely by some 6% organically in the first quarter at constant exchange rates. Would you expect this even to accelerate in the following quarters? Because I would imagine that there hadn't been much contribution from the healthcare card so far in Q1.
Yes, that's right. So we expect this to pick up, A, from more contribution from this project, and also from some other areas. Just take an example. We know in Italy that we have a good backlog on revenue related to some regional projects there and services we provide to our client base in Italy. So all in all, as we said, directionally, we are fairly happy with the state of the IS business. Of course, the U.S., even if it's a little bit too early to hoist the victory flag, the bookings will now start to translate, and you know, come Q2, we had $12.5 million of revenue last year, and we shouldn't be so far off in Q2 this year. And then Q3, we should even begin to see some growth should this booking trend continue. So we have some, say, drivers where we start to get some returns on all the hard work in previous periods.
Okay, thank you.
This is Hendrik from HSBC. Three questions, if I may. Firstly, could you shed a bit more light in what you actually booked in this quarter regarding the telematics infrastructure? Regarding the wording, the changed wording of the segment guidance, is the telematics the driver behind the potential upside to the segment guidance? That would be the first one. And then secondly, kind of a more qualitative question. Given the weak Q1 and the statements in your report that a quick uptake in the hospital business does not really seem that likely, is there still any chance for you to reach the upper end or upper half of your EBITDA guidance?
So the last question is easy to answer. The answer is yes. And for the first question, if you include revenue related to this project, which is booked in, say, Medistar and Turbomed and Albis, our product lines, it's 1.8 million for the quarter. But keep in mind that this this also covers, say licenses and installation related to say normal business, which is linked into the project. I would say so. We've said, I think it's likely that we would get more revenue than say the 7 to 8 million from this project this year. That we discussed when we did the guidance. I think our current estimate this year would be probably by now closer to 12. So that's one thing certainly that's higher. I mentioned the Italian business where we didn't say bank on these regional projects to go through. They now seem to go through. That is a positive. I guess we took some risk adjustments to the development in the US, and again, we may get, it's going to fluctuate someone before, say, the systematics of a larger sales force just starts to bring consistent growth every quarter. But right now, these factors look good, and across the board, again, it now seems more likely in IS that we will be towards the higher end, and if all goes well, maybe even a little bit above. But again, we reiterate the range, but directionally, that's where we are today on IS, and that balances then the weaker start and the weaker outlook that we see on the hospital business. But still, again, we don't change the range in the hospital business, but that would mean we would need a good third and fourth quarter to get into that range.
Okay, and one follow-up, if I may. Could you give us any ballpark number on what would be a best estimate of personnel expenses run rate for the next quarters, given the different trends of increasing Salesforce US and the downsizing.
It isn't going to change all that much. I would really take 60 times 4.
Right, perfect. Cheers.
Hi, it's Lars from Hampton Alpha. Thanks for taking my question. Just a few remaining, just on the hospital business, basically. What's your fixed cost base there that you need to cover? For the US business, I'm a bit confused because on the report, page 2, you say that revenues declined by 14% at constant currencies, and the order backlog is basically up 32% year over year. So first, is it right, did I get it right? And secondly, basically, is the 32% order backlog growth, when will this be realized, and where's this strong increase coming from? Thanks.
So the hospital business, it's you can basically the cost base in hospital business is personnel and other expenses, and the other expenses, I would say, are for practical purposes linked. So if you go to the segment report and you look at personnel expenses and the cost part, that is the fixed cost. So it's only the COGS which, say, varies. I guess if you look into that, that is, so I mean, we are to 80-90% fixed costs in the hospital business.
Yeah.
Before, yeah, so that's that. So there are two things we monitor closely. One is revenue recognized. We recognize revenue when products and services are delivered. And the other one is booking of new, say, sales, essentially. And they say the lead time before when we do a sale, sign an order until it gets delivered and revenue is recognized is the average in the US is about 60 days, so say 2 months. So which means the bookings in Q1 should translate into, say, the revenue profile in Q2. That is Q on Q is a pretty good proxy for that.
Okay, thanks. Final follow-up again, just to clarify again. The telematic, you said you expect some 12 million in revenues for 2014 in total, right?
Okay, so this, as I said, this is our current estimate, which would be, if that comes through, would be higher than what we, say, based our guidance on.
And what have you realized in Q1?
1.8.
Okay.
Including revenue, say, in our normal product lines.
Great, okay. Cheers, thanks.
Yeah.
Hello, Christian. It's Andreas Wolf from Warburg Research.
Hi, Andreas.
A couple of questions from my side. I'm just looking for those, sorry. The first one would be regarding for the SAP-related costs. How much was this in Q1? What would be the cost savings in the upcoming year? For fewer services and maintenance for the legacy ERP and CRM systems that you have in place, and how much SAP related costs should we expect for the remainder of the year? So that's basically the first question. The second is on work capitalized. It increased slightly, mainly in the AIS segment. Is it right that this is related to G3 or is it related to telematics? Just a small question. And then the Windows 8 renewal cycle, Windows XP that has caused some more licenses within your ARPA business. Should we expect a similar tailwind for some of your AIS business? I think some of your products are Windows-based. And then regarding the hospital business, is it just a delay or is it lost revenue? I remember that last year that there were some delays regarding a product launch that was I think, content management linked. And then regarding the U.S. business, I assume it's linked, well, the decline in revenues is linked to the transition from on-premise to a cloud revenue model. So how much is already cloud-based, how much is still on-premise? And I guess the new products that you have in the order book are all cloud-based. And given the lower profitability level and revenue level in the U.S., is it right to assume that the U.S. is currently loss-making at EBITDA level? Thank you.
Okay, let's start with SAP. You know, it is a big thing to... it is a little bit a matter of definition, but if we take only external consultants which are being expensed in Q1, it is roughly €1 million, and it's going to be that in Q2 as well. And the goal of this project is not primarily cost saving. It is going, certainly this year we will have double expenses for everything. It is, of course, to greatly improve our transparency and management ability and to support all our business processes in a much improved way. So that is the purpose of it, not necessarily to do cost savings. They will come over time. Whether they will, I would probably rank that as not a significant cost structural change, and the purpose is purely to get a uniform operating structure across all our businesses. Question number two, the slight increase, yes, this is related to G3, that is correct. Three, the tailwind in terms of XP, say migrations. Keep in mind that this is system deliveries. So in the pharmacy software business, we are a total solution provider, which means this benefits us directly. In our IS business, any system upgrade doesn't go through our P&L because it goes through our dealers. So at least in Germany, if anything, that is more of a headwind, as the dealers are now very busy doing XP upgrades and probably not as busy as they should to work with e-services and CGM add-ons. Number four, but it is truly a good, I can give a metric on, in the pharmacy business in Germany, we had 15% higher bookings in Q1 compared to Q1 last year, 15%. But keep in mind that we are basically only selling maintenance contracts, so it takes a long time so before that transcends in or gets into the same growth rate at the P&L level. But anyhow, it just shows that it is a big, say, booster to our business, and we are fully booked at all levels in the organization to fulfill these orders. So that is good news. But again, in the IS business, in many countries where we don't do any hardware, it doesn't really represent anything for us. The HIS business, your question four, is it delay or lost revenue? Last year it was delayed, this year it's lost. There isn't any delay related to this, the way I see it.
So was it just a project that was lost, or?
It's more a low level of, sales to rehab institutions and social care institutions. If you look at, say, the underlying daily business, which comes during a quarter, the normal level of, say, smaller billable service requests was significantly lower than what was normal and what was expected. And again, that isn't necessarily any delay related to that. That is just lower performance in that period. Last question, U.S. business. Keep in mind that when we talk about the move from, say, license to cloud, it is basically the payment terms. The product suite is inherently hosted and cloud-based and has always been that way, but we were always charging for that on, say, a license plus maintenance-based model. The shift has been, same product, same service, but now it's being charged on a subscription-based model. So it doesn't necessarily change the physical layer of what we do, but it changes how we invoice the customers.
And after how many years do the subscription-based revenues break even with the traditional license plus maintenance revenue model?
3 years.
3 years, okay. And earnings probably after 4 years?
Yes.
I would assume, okay.
And you actually had a sixth question there. Is U.S. loss-making in Q1? The answer is yes, not big, but yes.
Okay, so we should be break even probably by the end of this year.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
The goal is to break even for the full year.
Okay. Yeah. So, okay. And maybe one last question, if I may, regarding Poland. you pointed to some high activity in the future. So was it some delays there? What was behind the...
These are more, say, I would say not delays, but just planned phases. If we had a very, very high activity level in this e-health project in question last year. So it was a tough comp in that respect. And this year we are in a different phase, but there will be other quarters where this is, you know, it's in backlog and it's planned and will then pick up. So again, this, even if it doesn't look particularly pretty quarter to quarter, year on year, it's a little bit the nature of the business we have in Poland. And again, we do look for a full year on year growth in that business, and we are on a pretty high, say, backlog coverage for that already, so that looks quite good.
Okay, thank you.
Hello, this is Knut Waller from Baader, just with two quick questions. The first one on your HIS business, what's the confidence coming from that revenue growth will accelerate mainly in the second half? You mentioned some smaller services that were missing in the first quarter, so will management attention focus on that to improve the momentum here? And then secondly, on the PCS business, you came in Q1 at the high end of your guidance, however you did not refine it and said it's likely that you exceed it as you did in HIS. So is that some conservatism still baked into that, or is that something where you think it's also a likelihood that we might exceed the guidance that you gave? Thank you.
So I guess when I spoke about, so first of all, the seasonal profile of our hospital business can be observed over many years. So certainly it is a business. It is the part of our business which has the strongest seasonal bias towards the second half. So I guess my statement was more related to that. But it's also clear that the initiatives, the goal in April, May, and June is to drive A, bookings higher, and B, of course, to make sure that we capture whatever opportunities short-term in terms of smaller billable service requests and add-ons. So there are some things that you can do, say, within a quarter, but realistically, it's there is a lag, before the full P&L effect from these initiatives will come in, and certainly there will not be a magical, say, return to normality here in Germany in just one quarter. It will take two or maybe even three quarters, and I think again, it's probably likely that we will fall short in the German hospital business compared to our plans this year. We have plenty of opportunity to cover that Austria, Switzerland, and even Poland the way we stand today. But first of all, we also have to get to a more normal level of revenue and efficiency also in Germany. Second question, PCS business. I guess there is an element of conservatism from the statements and observations. There are a few weaknesses to see right now, but let's give it one more quarter and then we will see. It certainly looks quite robust, as you have also observed.
Thank you.
That seems to be the last question, so thank you for your interest and your continued support for CompuGroup, and we will return at the next crossroads, which will be at the Q2 presentation. Thank you and have a good day.